The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Things are going well. Things are going well. There's so much victory culturally for the people who oppose the behavior of Israel. It's amazing. But at the same time, I can see rising the propaganda bots that are pro-Israeli. They are getting activated. And man, is it going to be a few years of fallacies and falsehoods and sliming away from the argument. It's going to be a pain in the ass to be living on the internet, because they're going to come with their replies one by one, more irrational than the others. I can see a bot farm activated that I had never seen before. They come out today in support of Murray, Douglas Murray. And it's like, no, you cannot objectively think that this guy has had a victory. This guy has been putting fallacies after fallacies on Joe Rogan to protect his side. And really, Dave Smith didn't do a wonderful job. You know, people were saying, JF, why do you say he got destroyed? Dave Smith performed poorly. Dave Smith didn't have anything to do. Dave Smith has let Douglas Murray hang himself with his own rope. And sometimes it's what you have to do in debate. And something beautiful came out, which is that you have a guy who has done strawman, who has done appeal to authority fallacy, who has made objective errors in defining the appeal to authority fallacy. We have a guy who has ridiculed himself on the public space, Douglas Murray. End of the line, Joel says, who pays Murray? I know the Henry Jackson Society are associated with him. You know, those money flows, they can go in any direction. But in the end, it is Israel and the Zionist media that is, in one way or another, paying him. Meanwhile, this guy is ruining this couple with a TikTok prank.
Get up! What are you doing with him?
What are you talking about? I don't know you.
So, okay, just let me tell you. We have three kids.
Uh-huh.
We're married.
Who the f*** are you? And I don't know what the f*** you want, but you need to go away.
We weren't doing nothing.
I just seen you guys laying on each other.
Really?
What do you mean, really?
Like?
Yeah, hold on. You're shaking like a dog. Tighten up.
I know.
Josh, Jeremiah, and Kaylee.
Who are they?
Her own kids. She's literally disregarding her own kids right now.
I had no clue this was your wife.
Do I know you?
It's crazy how, like, women act, right, bro?
I know. I don't like that.
Look, I don't even know who you are, but you need to please leave, because I'm in the middle of talking to someone, and I don't think it's really...
You weren't in the middle of talking to nobody. You told me... Hold on. You told me this was your therapist. You didn't tell me that this was your pink... You didn't tell me it was your pink meat rider.
I don't know who he is.
Really?
I don't.
Say nothing about the kids or anything about a marriage or nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right?
I don't know who this is. I don't know what he's talking
about.
Is it
right?
You guys stay right there. You sit down. Okay. You sit down. And I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I'll be right back. Did they left, bro?
All right. Well, see, dang, I don't know. That's, a little hardcore. You should inform the person that it was a TikTok prank at the end. Anyways, Douglas Murray getting absolutely destroyed. By the way, this is the best they have on the Zionist side. So he was slimy. And to the point where you have Joe Rogan coming in, and Joe Rogan is kind of a naive guy, but I think he's going to awaken to the Jewish reality going forward in his life, because that's kind of what awakened me. It's to interact with Jews and see, oh, wow, when we touch these buttons here and here, we get the inside of their mind, and it's not beautiful. And I think Joe Rogan was approaching Douglas Murray from a very honest perspective, trying to say, no, that's not what Martyr Maid is saying. Because it all revolves around the fact that Joe Rogan is platforming, you know, this word, platforming, as some people said on Twitter today, once you say this word, you've already lost. It's all about Joe Rogan platforming the Dave Smith of this world, the Martyr Maid of this world, Martyr Maid, suggesting a human review of the Israeli conflict, and not the Israeli conflict, that is the German and Jewish conflict of World War II. And he suggests that we would better understand, instead of saying Hitler is the most evil and there's nothing you can understand from inside Hitler, it's just evil, evil, evil there, he suggests that perhaps we can understand from his perspective and from the perspective of Churchill everything that went on during World War II. And it makes total sense. And I've been very interested at making this evolution for many years, because we have here a subject on which we are basically being told, stay blind. Stay blind on this subject. Never understand what motivated Adolf Hitler. Never understand if he may have had good principles. Adolf Hitler must always be referred to publicly as absolute evil. You cannot understand what he wanted to do, or what he thought, or maybe the things that he got right. That is impossible. Tom Fool says, AIU thinks Murray crushed Smith. Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see people expose themselves, and this is all the setting up of the war against Iran, basically. If you have people being able to stand in front of this discussion and not call out the fallacies of Douglas Murray, then you know that they will side with Israel no matter what. I'm not surprised by AIU. He's always been a... more than a Zionist, really. He's been bizarrely kind of adoring the Jewish people. Blimpy Survivor says, I remember reading some thoughts on Hitler and other essays by Herman Vincent back in 2017 and feeling super underground. Well, it's fascinating what Martyr Maid is doing these days, because he's kind of reawakening... I don't even know what to call his view, because I would want to tell you it's a revisionist view, but so much weight has been given to the word revisionism that it's been by the Jews, by Jews that are absolutely unhinged. They have made it absolutely synonymous with anti-Semitism, and basically revisionism is Nazism. But the reality is, we can look back and revise. We can look back and have a different interpretation of different things without being a Nazi or an anti-Semite. But I would say Daryl, Martyr Maid, is kind of a revisionist hyperlight. He's a revisionist who's trying to cuddle the Jews as he does it. He's looking into branches of thinking that revisionists have been thinking about and studying and writing about, but he's trying to do it in the most pale way so as not to trigger the Jews. But what I would say to Daryl is that we all know it's impossible. That is why we do what we do. That is why we self-cancel and we don't care about what people say about us in the Jewish press. Because no matter how much you try to sugarcoat it, the Jew will detect you. This is what I would have to say to Martyr Maid. And if you don't just side blindly to their discourse that they want to hear, they detect you, you think. And so you are to be rejected. And so you become the anti-Semite, you become the Nazi, you become the Hitler apologist. Doesn't matter that you've said it or not said it. This is why I have issues with these light, these alt-light, these non-extremists. Because it's like, what are you trying to do here? You're playing a game against a system that will detect you. It will detect any shade of not adhering to the mainstream discourse. And it will automatically categorize you as anti-Semite and Nazi. So have some fun with it instead of approaching it in a shy way and trying to, every 2 minutes, Daryl will repeat, but I do believe that Hitler killed a lot of Jews. You're kneeling too much. You're cucking to a system that will go as harsh as it can against you. Now, it's an approach, I guess, being light, being shy, but it's not going to spare you any punch. So my philosophy is, once you go in that direction, just throw something at them. Throw a wrench at them that they don't know how to handle. Throw a curveball. But what you're throwing there, Daryl, is not a curveball. They know exactly where you're coming from. Any sort of introduction of a humanized form of thinking for Adolf Hitler is barred from the public space. This is exactly what they don't want. And when you come out with it, they detect you. They know you're the enemy, and they will make you the enemy. Anyways, we'll have some looks at the tweets of Martyr Maid, because I think he's not a total cuck, to his credit. But I'm afraid that what's being elevated here is a form of light revisionism that falsely distinguishes itself from real revisionism. And it's like, it's another gatekeeping layer that's showing up. And this is where Nick Fuentes is right. Hey, here we have Douglas Murray losing in a debate. Isn't that to be celebrated? Well, he's losing to a Jew who didn't push very much. So it's still Jew talking to Jew with a Zionist host. And it's still these people trying to explain to white people what they can and cannot think about. And Martyr Maid being invited by Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson calling Nick Fuentes a fed. What you see here is the building of the alt-light that failed. And we should be scared a little bit. Something is up that is not, I was about to say not kosher, but no, too kosher. Something is up that is, as we say in Quebec, not Catholic.
You're not answering my question. You're continuing to cite
right-wing Israeli politicians. But what do you think is the reason?
I'm getting there. I'm saying, so I think they disengaged in order to kill the peace process. I think they put the full blockade around the country for the reason that they've always kind of done it there, that, yeah, they don't want too much stuff getting in. They want to keep them, as they put it, on a diet, and they don't want rockets to fly into Israel.
The second one is a kind of important one, isn't it, the final
one
you said?
Yeah, it is.
If the Palestinian leadership in Gaza after 2005 had not from the get-go decided to use Gaza as a stockpiling place for rockets to fire into Israel, all of it would be different. If they had just resisted...
So here, notice the smoke screen that's being pulled here, and unfortunately we don't have a Dave Smith making that distinction. He's going to try by talking about the woman and children later. But here you have to stop Douglas Murray, and you have to say, hey, even if Israel was justified in striking a bunch of terrorists or an elite that has overtaken Palestine, that's sending missiles your way, certainly the baby that's 8 months old in Palestine certainly is not to be blamed for this. Certainly, he is a human being who has not committed any wrong toward Israel. And the methods that you've used are explicitly deployed and intended to destroy the society of this baby and of any citizens of Palestine who have not participated to your missile sending. So Douglas Murray here, his argument only holds within the Israeli mind under the assumption that many Israelis do live with, unfortunately, that all Palestinians are terrorists, even the six-month baby.
Resisted the temptation that so many of us do in our lives to stop keeping RPGs in our cellars and then Katusha rockets in our children's bedrooms. All of it could have been different. If that desire to live in peace beside your neighbors had superseded the desire to stockpile rockets, it would all...
And here we're entering with the problem. Whoever stockpiles rockets is just a subset of the society that you've genocided. And in fact, some of it may be rockets that ultimately boil down to some degree of American-Israeli funding. As Dave Smith will mention, there is some degree of Hamas backing, historically, by Israel.
All be different.
Yeah, or if Israel just hadn't occupied them for 60 years, it would all be different, too.
Exactly. They were pushed back in a corner. They lived there. Their lands were stolen.
Why is it the onus always on them?
Well, you believe in self-determination, I'm sure.
Well, the Israel self-determined in bombing an entire civilization, including its non-military members, women and children.
Yes.
I believe in individual rights. Yeah, sure.
Okay, individual rights.
And here's the smokescreen of self-determination. It's the babies you're bombing did not have the self-determination of voting for Hamas. They were not part of the voting population. They don't have a responsibility for what was imposed onto them.
That includes the right to make bad decisions. Sure. Yes. The Palestinians in Gaza, when they voted in Hamas, made a very bad decision.
Yeah, of course,
and
Douglas.
Hang on.
The ones that engaged in the attack, that's not even all of the voters of Hamas.
And in the years after that, they made bad decision after bad decision. It was a very bad decision to continually fire thousands of rockets into Israel. It was a very bad decision to use what boats came in early on and to use the smuggling networks from Egypt, not to...
This does not justify the punishment of a third-party baby.
...bring in supplies you could actually build a thriving society with, but to bring in rockets. It was a very bad idea. No, there was not starvation in Gaza after 2005. No, there was no deficit of goods coming in. I've been plenty of times...
There was no deficit?
No, there are plenty of...
No goods were kept out.
There are plenty... How many... Have you been to the crossing points?
No.
And here we enter the fallacious part of Douglas Murray's argument. Have you been there? And the problem with being there is there's a series of problems. First, it's a fallacy that you cannot have information about a society without being there. Absolute fallacy to start with. Astrophysics would be impossible if you cannot extract information from somewhere you've never been. Yet we can look at the stars, we can see that they're there, and we can look at other countries from mediatic coverage, statistics, science, and history being made in this country from which we can read and learn from. So it's a fallacy, but it's also vicious as a fallacy because what he's trying to introduce here is a circle of allowed experts chosen by Israel to make these paid for visits. I saw Douglas Murray about a year ago with his little bulletproof vest, pathetically attempting to look like a journalist in Gaza. It was the most ridiculous thing. I saw it. At that moment, I knew that this was coming eventually, that we would hear him claim some legitimacy from having been there. So what they do is they take you in Israel, they fly you in first class, and they give you all this hotel, And they set up a couple of days of propaganda where you'll be listening to conferences, I guess, where some pro-Israeli members of the army, IDF, etc., will just propagandize you to the pro-Israeli view. And you get an opportunity to be accompanied in some not too dangerous area of Gaza or of wherever there's action and war. And Douglas Murray had taken the opportunity, and he had shown his whole press bulletproof vest with his helmet, and he was covering stuff as if he was experiencing, by doing so, some sort of reality. But what you get here is militaristic propaganda from the Israeli side. You know, nothing that Douglas Murray will have been shown hasn't been selected and chosen by the chosen. It has been selected because it would serve the interest of Israel. So having been there is actually it's a negative in my view, because if you've been there, it means you've been approved and selected by the Israeli government. It means that they consider you a friend. Douglas Murray was given an award when he went there. So they know that they will not select you if you have a free mind. They will not let anyone do these trips. So by trying to create a special class of journalist experts who are authorized to talk about the Israel issue, is effectively saying all that you can hear from this conflict is what Israel decides is kosher. He is trying to impose a kosher labeling to information consumption in the domain of war propaganda. Absolutely vicious and disgusting fallacy. On top of it, Being there will inevitably lead you to a perceived bubble reality. You cannot estimate by just a trip, less than 2 weeks and probably less than a few days in the zones that matter. You won't know if the population is being supplied proper supplies. We've seen again and again Israeli citizens attack the trucks that are headed toward Gaza, making them incapable of penetrating the area to deliver medicine and food. There's been extreme lack of resources, for example, to get water. There's been intentional destruction of the water wells in Gaza. We've seen it on video. I mean, the Israelis are... This is the advantage of chutzpah. They actually filmed themselves.
When were you last there at all?
I've never been.
You've never been.
You've never been.
Well, am I not allowed to talk about it now? I've never been.
Like, imagine this reaction to a black hole physicist. When's the last time you went into a black hole? You've never been.
Have you ever been to Nazi Germany? Are you allowed to have feelings about them?
You can't time travel, but you can. Right. But you can travel.
Okay, but so.
No, it would be absolutely ridiculous for someone like Dave Smith to travel to Israel. He could be killed. Just as it would be ridiculous for me. I could be killed if I go to Israel. So I'm not going to go to Israel. Yet you're going to get a different angle from people who couldn't enter Israel because they have a different type of cognition. Because they've been chosen for persecution and oppression of the kind that would keep them out of Israel, they have a different mind that's worth listening to.
So what? So what's the point? Like,
no,
okay.
I find that
lots
very...
of people have been there and agree with me, and lots of people have been there and agree with you.
Yeah, but
so
if
I don't
you're
going to
spend a year and a half talking about a place, you should at least do the courtesy of visiting it.
All right.
And so he moves into a loose red herring of, oh, well, it's about courtesy. I'm not saying you can't talk about it. It's just about courtesy. So basically, you have no argument. You have an etiquette that doesn't exist. There's no unwritten rule of journalism. There's no such thing. There are historians who are specialists, by the way, of a place that they've never been. Never been. Blimpy Survivor says the personal is the political, right, Douglas? This is like a woman who had an abortion thinking her opinion is more informed.
I just think this is a non-argument.
You don't
but
think?
Okay. No, I think
no,
it's
no
a non-
one thinks Murray you know, there are people who are historians of locations that they have never seen.
Argument.
But if you're an expert,
well, you have to go and touch the ground.
No, I think you have to.
Even Joe Rogan, even the caveman Joe Rogan, magician of science, show me some of your magic science. Even Joe Rogan understands that kissing the ground won't give you anything.
See, I think it's a good idea to see stuff, particularly if you spend a career talking about something. Yes.
So here, that's Douglas Murray trying to say to Dave Smith, shut the fuck up. Stop talking about Israel. We don't like your perspective. Of course, these guys don't like his perspective. They've been busy building a circle jerk of Zionist neoconservatism for more than a decade. And sometimes they sold you this circle jerk on the guise of science talk and atheism talk and psychology self-help talk. But it was all a circle being developed to control your mind to justify Israel's aggression in the Middle East up to Iran. These people are extremely slimy. And when they see someone like Dave Smith coming out and thinking for himself, they have an issue.
I have a journalistic rule of trying never to talk about a country even in passing unless I've at least been there.
Okay.
It's a sort of normal, it's a normal thing to do. You're talking about, you're talking about crossing points. And not only have you never been to a crossing point in either Egypt or in Israel, but you've never even been to the region.
Okay.
There's plenty of videos of these crossing points. We know what happens at them.
Okay. Again, I think this is a non-argument. I don't understand.
No, it's not a non-argument.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a non-argument. If you're insisting that you're an expert of some kind, or not claiming you're an expert, but still talking about it, about the provisions going
in. So, no, being in a place does not constitute a pre-requirement for talking about it in any form, whether expert or non-expert. You can know things from a distance.
Into Gaza or not, if you've never seen any of this going on.
So you're not allowed to speak about things that you've read about. You can only speak about things that you've seen with your own eyes.
You can talk about what you want.
Uh-huh.
You're being self-contradictory here. Why make this whole case about etiquette and you have to be there? But no, you don't have to be there. You can talk.
Proving. But that is a different matter from spending an awfully long
Well, if he can talk 1 minute about it, can he talk 30 minutes about it? And if it turns out that it's the most interesting subject because it's a genocide happening on video right now, funded by the US, and we care about it, and it touches all of the issues of the news because ultimately it boils down to Jewish power in America. You're going to have to talk about it more than 30 minutes because it's what fascinates people. It's what people want to hear about. It's extremely relevant.
Amount of time.
And what is this fallacy here? That there's a certain amount of time where you would have to stop speaking and visit the place.
Talking about an issue in a region you haven't even had the courtesy to visit whilst developing.
Doesn't matter. A visit, by the way, there's plenty of people going to Cuba and never experiencing anything about Cuba because they're held in fences. They go into these resorts, all alcohol paid for a single fee. And so they're basically in a cage drunk. And these trips to Israel is the same. It's just the cage is a little bigger. The illusion is a little bigger. The Truman Show is larger.
All of these views about it. I mean, now I slightly get an idea of where you're coming from. You've read about this blockade, and so you imagine that that's what it is.
Like, if you're talking about any sort of history that's older than 80 years old, yes, it's all going to be people reading about things that other people wrote, and then people reading from primary sources.
I imagine you've read all the people who say that Gaza was a concentration camp, and you probably think that too. Am I right?
I mean, again, it literally a concentration camp. It shares a lot of similarities, I would
Certainly there are similarities. Absence of right to travel, blockade to pass, blockade of resources, absence of citizenship status, absence of political right, absence of due process, killing, arbitrary killing. You know, we've seen plenty of videos of Israeli snipers who are having fun. They're having fun shooting just groups of 5-6 people that are not armed, that are just... they're just Palestinians, not armed, and they get shot. We see them fall. So those are features of a concentration camp, yes.
I would think.
Wow. Well, as I say, you can't time travel back to the Nazi era.
Let's go back to the blockade.
But you could go to the Middle East and actually visit it.
Okay,
the World Bank
said in 1996 for the one
now
year
the
of the blockade...
Now the libertarians are quoting the World Bank. I love it.
It doesn't mean anything.
And now, later he's going to complain about authorities. Well, here's an authority. Here's a bunch of institutions that have said exactly the same thing.
This is a non-argument. Yes, I'm saying the World Bank did their own analysis of this, and they said that
Why
it was a 40%
of your
of the...
own analysis?
Hold on. You got to stop interrupting and let him...
Because you can't go into Gaza and just wait for whether the Israeli sniper is going to shoot you or... some other kid. You're much better with statistics on this. You're much better with videos. You will acquire much more information than you could ever see if you go on your own. Because it's possible to pull a smoke screen, an illusion of security for a moment. But we know that journalists have been killed again and again by the strikes of the Israelis.
Finish the sentence.
The World Bank said that 40% drop in the GDP of 1 year due to the blockade. And there's been a blockade from 2007 on. So are you saying that this hasn't had an economic effect? Is that the argument?
No, of course it'll have an economic effect.
So you're saying you have to be on the ground and do an audit of the blockade in order to be able to comment on it?
I think you should at least know what it is, what the territory is, what the situation is in the region. Yes, absolutely.
And the only way to do that is to be there in person.
I think that's the best way. It's not the only way.
And here you go, a concession. Well, if it's not the only way, Douglas, then that means that your entire spiel against Dave Smith is invalidated. Dave Smith happens to have used a different way than going there himself.
Anyway, but it's the best way, for sure. For sure. If you have never seen the countries in question, you've never spoken to the people.
There are actually realities that you will be blind to underground. There are demographic realities, there are statistics, there are nationwide effects of economic blockades that you will capture better by numbers than you will by individual observation. You could spend a whole year in Palestine and you'd see 100 different people, maybe. You'd chill, you'd see their everyday lives. You would not necessarily have an idea of what was the effect of the economic blockade of 1996. For that, you're going to need some sources, some analysis.
In question, you've never interviewed anyone, you've never gone around, you've never seen the terrain, and so on, and you've used Wikipedia. I'm sorry, no, that's not the same thing.
Okay, well, I've not just used Wikipedia.
See, Strawman here, no one has brought up Wikipedia.
Yeah, but didn't you write a big piece when the war in Ukraine first came out titled something like, I've been to Ukraine and they can win, they can repel the Russians? So you could go there.
And that's an interesting pushback. You know, you could go there and be deceived. You could go there and get it wrong. So maybe you can get it right from not being there.
And still get it wrong, right?
No, I was with the Ukrainian armed forces in 2022 when they were retaking territory from the Russians.
Right, the last time they had any...
when the Russians withdrew intentionally. Essentially, the Ukrainians have never been able to take back a stable amount of territory without the Russians first withdrawing.
Advances,
right. I said I can see how they can win, which would be advances like that, yeah.
You said if we just fund them, or if we just arm them, that they can then...
And see here, you have the problem of the smoke screen. You can easily be carried by Zelensky around Ukraine and be told, oh, wow, look, we got these 50 feet of advancement here. Let me show you on the ground how it looks. Oh, wow. There's Ukrainians, there's trenches. Wow. This is how we win the war. And you've been deceived. You've been contained in a bubble, which is exactly, by the way, what Zelensky does to get funding every time. He's bringing you into a bubble that looks like he's fighting. This front line has been stable forever at this point. There is no hope for advancement, but you've been led to believe at the beginning that there was hope for it because you've been sampling a limited reality.
Said that the Ukrainian army was making great successes, which it was when I was with them in the fall of 22.
Okay, listen, there were lots of people who went to Iraq and said, we'll be greeted as liberators and it'll be paid for in oil and democracy will spread through the region.
Exactly. The experts sent on site are purchased.
I don't know. Either take on the arguments or don't. But I don't.
But
think
I'm saying, but your argument's incorrect.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, then present a counter argument to it. But to just tell me I'm not allowed to talk about something because I'm not an expert.
I'm not saying you're not allowed to talk about it.
Okay, fine. Well, you're not an expert.
You've been for 6 minutes saying that there was a problem in him talking about it. That was how terrible the whole of the interview was. I watched the whole thing. Martyrmaid is laughing his ass off on Twitter. Two kinds of people watch the Comics Dave Smith versus Murray debate. Hardcore Zionists like Will, who would say Murray won no matter what, and the entire rest of the world, who were so put off by Murray that it's negatively affected their opinion of British people in general. Yes, there was a very interesting exchange at some point where the question of we, because Dave Smith says we, I've been going to war with the Middle East for many decades. And that was the we of an American, interestingly. And Douglas Murray was saying, you've not been to war, we. You've not been to war. And I found it interesting because here they were having an argument about what is we. Is the we the British we of Douglas Murray? Is the we the American we of Dave Smith? And I was like, amazingly, these two people are wrong. The we is the Jews. And we have here an internal discussion between Jews about just how rough do we have to be in our genocidal intent and in our intent to clear out a portion of the world for us to exist. And I was like, there is something missing in this discussion. It's the person who would say your we's are both fraudulent. Douglas Murray is a gay Jew that happens to live in the UK. Dave Smith is an American Jew that happens to live in America and that happens to have certain sensitivities for the suffering of other human beings, unlike his co-ethnics, and that's the discussion. It's an internal Jewish discussion. And it's been designed that way, by the way. Douglas Murray would not have accepted to go on to Joe Rogan if a non-Jew anti-Zionist had been there. Because what they like to do is to reframe the opposition from within their group. Blimpy Survivor says, this is why news anchors lie about being in combat when they just visited the region. That cred is currently to stupid smarts. Yes, it's a very weird cred because you can be brought to make it look like you're at the front line of a war, and you're not. And most of the time, it never happens. Martyr Maid says, Rolem in a full 360, if it makes you feel better, but your inability to see why 90% of the people were repulsed by Murray is why your country has so badly lost the war of IDs since October 7 and has had to rely more and more on censorship, slander, and buying US politicians. Let me tell you, Martyr Maid, although he is promoted by Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, which scares me. There, I like what he's saying. He is saying your country to Will Chamberlain, who is an American Jew. And when he's saying your country, he's talking about Israel. So Martyr Maid, I think, has a good understanding that there is a Jewish cabal against him. And that is good. That is very good. I think he scored. I don't know to which extent he is based, but he is flirting with basedness in some serious manner. This section here.
With no deficit of goods coming in. I've been plenty.
Okay, this one we already watched it. I had another clip I wanted to go to. I've seen bots basically rising onto Twitter. Defenders of Israel, they are coordinating to an extent that tells me this is, to me, a first sign that we are in a short-term entry into a war against Iran. They are deploying the pro-Israel bots. And they are deploying the pro-Israel people in general onto X. Look at this. One of the best moments on Joe Rogan, when the Rogan with the E, when the excellent Douglas Murray annihilates Dave Smith for never visiting Israel. Fire, fire. Anyone with some thinking agrees that this is fallacious. If you're celebrating this fallacy, as far as I'm concerned, you are a pre-sold agent who had a foregone conclusion before this discussion even happened. There was an objective error by Douglas Murray on fallacies. So there was a discussion where Dave Smith wanted to simply quote a leading person of the American government at some point.
I think it would be certainly incorrect to assume that everything that happens bad in the world is somehow a consequence of U.S. meddling. I also think that there's people on the other side here, maybe the people who are more neocon-leaning, more war-hawky-leaning, they have a tendency to only focus on the bad things that everybody else does and act like our policies have no impact on this.
Yeah, it should be ridiculous.
So, right. So very specifically, you know, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and I'll just get two like bullet points on this, and we could talk about a lot of this. But look, number one, in 2008, as you well know, right, the Joe Biden CIA director, who was the CIA director for the entire war up until Donald Trump just came back in, he wrote the Nyet Means Nyet memo to Condoleezza Rice, a private cable to the then Secretary of State when he was ambassador to Russia, to let her know that this flirting with bringing Ukraine into NATO is going to end up in a war. And by the way, the Russians don't want to do it. His words exactly. If you keep pushing with this, the Russians are going to have to make a decision that they don't want to make, which is whether they intervene or not. And number two, Stoltenberg, if I might be butchering that again, but the head of NATO, he himself said that Vladimir Putin sent him a draft treaty in late 2021 and said, look, if you just put into writing that you will not bring Ukraine into NATO, I won't invade. Now, if you want to argue that
I admire your appeal to authority to the head of the CIA.
Appeal to authority. An appeal to authority is when you say, this expert has said ABC, therefore ABC is true. This is not what Dave Smith has done here. Douglas Murray is completely lost. He's trying to slime away through an attribution of a fallacy that does not qualify at all. If you cite an expert to say, hey, look, this was the position of the experts at that moment, you're not committing an appeal to authority at all, let alone a fallacy. You are saying this was a statement of the experts at this time. This was a position of the government at this time. It is not an appeal to fallacy to quote the head of the CIA or the head of NATO.
CIA. It's not an appeal to authority. Well,
how is that an appeal?
Absolutely ridiculous. This is on the record, Douglas Murray just divagating. Just absolutely beside the track of reality.
Appeal to authority.
You regard the view of the CIA director on that occasion as being useful for your argument. But secondly...
It's not because the fact that the director of the CIA said this and the fact that it's useful to his argument that makes it an appeal to authority. It would have to be the case that Dave Smith is trying to make a case that the content of the statement of the authority is true, which he's not. He's strictly talking here about this was the director's CIA's belief at this time because he stated it. That is it. It's a statement of belief. It's a quote.
But
secondly, there's an oddity to believing what Vladimir Putin says.
No, wait, hold on. But you didn't let me finish my point.
Okay.
So don't believe what he says. I'm not going to pretend to read his heart and mind or something like that. But at the very least, you handed him the giant excuse in order to do it. I mean, maybe he doesn't really believe it, but this is his argument to his own people and to the world that it's like, look, and we put him in a position, if you hate...
Imagine having someone call you to not believe Vladimir Putin when in fact... The person, the people who has lied the most about these advancements of NATO and these American intervention are the Jewish neocons. They lied about weapons of mass destruction. They lied about all of the justifications behind the Iraq and Afghan war. They lied sometimes about Syria, use of chemical weapons. They lied about... keeping NATO from the Ukraine line to leave Ukraine being in the sphere of influence of Russia. Again and again, there's been lies on our side. And yet here we have Douglas Murray saying, oh, you're not going to just believe Vladimir Putin. When's the last time Vladimir Putin lied to justify a war? Never heard of it.
Hate Vladimir Putin. He's such a terrible guy. Well, we put him in this position where he gets to now very plausibly say to the international community in the same way that if the...
This is a little too cocked, what Dave Smith is saying here. It's a little too cocked because he's making the argument, well, even if he's a liar and he's evil, well, just calm down here, calm down. Because this behavior right here, the whole... double standard and rejection of all responsibilities toward others is what causes the issue of Israel denying its own genocide.
I meant to donate $100, but with the Trump tariff, my projected profit this year is 75% less.
Oh, well, Eric, thank you for the donation. It's fine. I appreciate the donation. And I think our profits are going to get better. I think that we have first, Bitcoin is slightly recovering. So I think that it's going to get better and that the Trump bluff will be called out. But it's okay if you want to reduce your donations to the show. So yeah, this behavior of it's always the other side that's evil, but they've never done anything to be evil, whereas we are not evil, but we've repeatedly lied to justify our aggressions. That doesn't make sense in the modern world. Nor Douglas Murray, nor Dave Smith here are capturing the dishonesty of the neocon perfectly.
Soviet Union had survived, and the United States hadn't. And they were.
He doesn't very plausibly have the opportunity to do that. He invaded Ukraine because he wanted to annex the whole country, because he was trying to pretend that the whole place had been run by Nazis.
Well, that was hilarious when Putin came out with the Nazi stuff, but it turned out that Zelensky has sided with the Azov battalion, that he has gone easy on them to let them oppress Russian-speaking people in Ukraine. It turns out that they do have Nazi-like symbolism, like the SS shirts. It's fascinating for a man, Douglas Murray, who sees Nazism in a guy saying, hey, let's try to understand what happened in World War II. Now, that's Nazism. That's anti-Semitism. And, oh, Dave Smith, you are by your statements, you are letting anti-Semitism come under you. But... Douglas Murray is incapable of seeing Nazism and a bunch of people who say, hey, we are big fans of Benderites. We are the Benderites. We are in support of this historical Nazi of Ukraine. And oh, look at our shirt, SS. Oh, just like the German SS. Unbelievable. For someone who should see Nazism, who should be sensitive to it, he can't show it. Meanwhile, James Lindsay completely ridiculing himself on the public space. He says they're calling the guy who wrote The Strange Death of Europe, The Madness of Crowds, and The War on the West a neocon now. Laughing my ass off. The community notes were noting that Douglas Murray has not only written these books. he has literally written a book in 2006 called Neoconservatism, Why We Need It. Yeah, Douglas Murray is a neocon. He's a neocon on a long con. He is on the long con of flirting with right-wing arguments to bind the American right-wing and UK right-wing with Zionism. So he's on a mission of deception. So he's going to engage on issues like immigration to win an audience that is white, to eventually misdirect them towards Zionism, which is really what he cares about. Harrison Smith says, today I woke up to a debate between Dave Smith and some psychotic propagandist about Israel-Gaza. Then I learned Trump appointed an anti-Semitism czar who is some Israeli dude. Then I read about how Columbia University will have a federal judge making sure they conform to censorship of our anti-Semitism. Then I saw a video of Trump floating the idea of war with Iran. Frankly, I'm just beyond sick of this shit and would give anything to never have to hear about Israel ever again. It's interesting what's developing in the population, and there is a crisis of too much. I think that the Israeli people are starting to expose themselves to the American people as just being too much. Just you're demanding too much. You're rooting for your own side too much. I mean, I didn't know that was possible, but you're too self-obsessed. Like we're talking about a population total of what, 17 million people, 17 million Jews across the planet. You can't have the entire world constantly revolve around you, and you can't just kill babies and not be called out for it. Now, just the craziness here. Canadian author Lauren Wise, a Jew, I guess, a Jewish Canadian, goes on a rampage against a Palestinian woman who's in a car.
Streets, post it. Author Lauren Wise, that's my Instagram. Author Lauren Wise, you should be raped and dragged through the streets in front of...
She's saying to... Because she has a Palestinian flag, she's an author, and she says, you should be raped for having... and dragged on the street for having a Palestinian flag.
Your kids. That's what
you... Okay, thank you.
You're addressing Hamas. Hamas, a terrorist...
Thank you. Thank you for your name.
No.
Thank you. Have
no
a nice
problem.
Day.
I think you should fucking, all of you fucking idiots who think that it's Palestine against Israel.
Donc, dans le fond, cette folle, elle vient, elle est en train de m'attaquer.
Yeah. I'm not...
Oh, well, she speaks French. She says, that's a crazy woman. She's currently attacking me.
I'm not attacking you.
Elle est en train de m'attaquer.
I'm a fucking idiot for sitting here with
your... Okay, t'as un problème, ma chérie. Viens.
Now we have a Palestinian accent. Speaking Quebecois. You have a problem, darling? Come see me.
You're fucking...
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
To all of your friends, you're stupid as...
Okay.
You don't...
Ah, the beauty of multiculturalism. A tanned Israeli Canadian author, Jewess, yelling at a Quebecois speaking Palestinian. Ah. Oh, the diversity. We didn't have this 40 years ago. We just didn't have all this diversity. Wow. Well. Nicolas Fuentes makes a couple of notes on Telegram. Doge revises its goal from a $1 trillion deficit reduction to $150 billion. Pentagon calls for a $1 trillion military budget. Trump proposes slowing down deportations for illegal immigrants working in agriculture and hospitality. DHS hasn't published deportation numbers in over a month. White House pleading with Z to initiate negotiations. Bond market collapsing again. Trump threatening additional sanctions against Russia. Epstein files still unreleased. Look, yeah, it is a moment of defeat for the Trump administration. It looks like the only thing we get from the Trump administration is aggressivity for the Jewish people, to the point of self-denying First Amendment rights for people in America. It's the only thing we get. We get Jewish fascism, and we don't get effective work on the border. We don't get the expulsions, the evictions. And man, it sucks. It sucks. It's a pain in the ass when you think about it. Most Americans now have a negative view of Israel, under 50 GOP support craters. So here you have the phenomenon. From 2022 to 2025, everyone has moved toward the right, which is everyone has moved toward unfavorable. The Republicans were 27% unfavorable. They are now 37% unfavorable. But look at how it splits into the age range. It's the young Republicans that are unfavorable vastly. The 50 plus are bringing it back down in 2025, 23%. So the 50 plus, once they die, we'll have a generation that, both on the side of Democrats and Republicans, are unfavorable toward Israel. So this is very interesting, because here the Democrats, everyone is unfavorable to Israel. 69 on average, 71 for the youth, 66 for the old. So you have a phenomenon here where the last window of support for Israel happens as long as the 50 plus aren't dead. But the more they die, the more we enter the regime where the majority of Republican supporters at some point will be unfavorable to Israel. Now, that day, we can have a true political evolution and political discussion in America that offers two options, the two of them being kind of opposed or kind of putting the brake pedal on the demands of Israel. That's very interesting. And it may be why the Israelis are so desperate, and you see them failing at debate on Joe Rogan, you see them pulling the butts for Twitter psyops. I think they are feeling the squeeze here. This is an enormous squeeze. The fact that these boomer Republicans are your last line of support means that your support is going down. And eventually, when this generation arrives, we can have an actual political discussion in America without concern trollings of that sort.
Bet you agree on a lot of things, and I bet you disagree on a lot of things, and it'd be fascinating to see your perspectives on these things. So that's why you're here together.
Okay.
And well,
can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Since the war in Israel began, and since the war in Ukraine began, you've had quite a lot of people who are very against both in different ways.
Yes.
Do you think you've had enough people on who are supportive of either war?
Unbelievable. This guy dares claim that there's not enough Jew supporting people on Joe Rogan. When Letter Apron Club has quantified their overrepresentation on Joe Rogan to be absolutely enormous, no matter, depends on how you split the MMA people or just political people. but it's somewhere more than 50% representation for a people that represents 1 to 2% of the population. Absolutely scandalous to be suggesting that this, basically this Jewish show, where there's two Jews currently arguing the fate of the Palestinian people, that there's not enough Jews still.
I don't know that word.
And unbelievably, you know, poor Joe Rogan with his caveman brain is going to give credence to this attack.
Word enough, if that's a good word.
Let's say enough people who are on the side of Israel instead of wild critics.
Well, I've had a few. I mean, I believe Gad Saad is on the side of Israel.
For sure.
Jordan is on the side of Israel.
You had Mike Baker, Coleman Hughes.
Yeah.
Coleman did it for like 20 minutes. That wasn't why he was here.
No. I mean, none of them. And none of them is why they're here. You know? It's a good question.
Do you think you've tilted one way?
See the concern trolling? Just asking questions. Do you think that... You know, maybe. Do you think that you're being biased? Bro, the pro-Israeli, pro-Zionist bias of Joe Rogan is a scientific fact. I'm sorry to say.
Me personally?
No. Just with the guests you've had.
The guests? Yeah, probably more tilted towards the...
And here, Joe Rogan is kind of hilarious in his response. He's about to say... Yeah, maybe I'm tilted toward the, like, idea that blowing up babies is wrong. look at Joe Rogan. I'm going to rewind so that you can enjoy the whole sentence.
Yeah, probably more tilted towards the idea that perhaps the way they've done it is barbaric.
Yeah, because it just happens to be barbaric. Like, it's very hard to find someone who's going to come and honestly engage on, no, babies should be blown up.
But why do you...
Look at the sight of Joe Rogan as he dropped the sentence. He's just looking at him straight in the eyes. Are you going to claim to me that bombing babies isn't barbaric?
Mm-hmm. But why
are you going to claim to me that carpet bombing an entire civilization isn't barbaric?
Do you think that is, just out of interest?
And look at the psychologist gaslighting Omo. Douglas Murray, why do you think that is? Is this something internal? Is this some bias that you feel inside of you? Is it unintentional?
I just because interested in your selection of guests because you're like the world's number one podcast.
So. Yeah,
I think that most of the people passing on to Joe Rogan just happen to think that it's barbaric to bomb babies.
It's not. I don't think about it that way. I just think I'd like to talk to this person.
But can I just?
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
it's
sure,
your show, but
sure,
I mean,
sure.
If you're going to interview historians of the conflict or historians in general,
mm-hmm.
why would you get somebody like Ian Carroll? Or
yeah, but Ian Carroll, I didn't bring him on for that purpose. I brought him on because I want to find out, like, how does one get involved in the whole conspiracy theory business? Because his whole thing is just conspiracies.
Sure.
You know?
But do you have any, I mean, there's been a tilt in the conversation, in both conversations in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and the conversation about conversations right now is a bunch of Jews conversing with a bunch of Jews about what do we do with the non-Jews.
And it's largely to do with people who have appointed themselves experts who are not experts.
And Jews are not experts at what they talk about when they go to Joe Rogan.
You mean like Ian? I don't think he appoints himself an expert in anything.
Who's that other dude who thinks he's an expert on Churchill?
Daryl Cooper does not think he's an expert.
In fact, I think it's everybody else is always calling him an expert, and he's like, I'm just a history
Have you ever absorbed any of his material? Have you ever consumed any of his podcasts or anything like that?
I tried.
Yeah?
It's pretty hard.
I tried means you haven't. You have no idea the production and the quality of the content of Martyr Made.
Hard to listen to somebody who says, I don't know what I'm talking about, but now I'm going to talk. Or I don't know about this. Or
but he knows from his readings, and he's trying to translate into the current culture of oral transmission. Doubting Thomas says, JF, did you see Murray's comment near the end about Wolfowitz? Absolutely, that's another fallacy I wanted to get to. Let's just finish the playing of this clip.
Well, I'm not capable of debating this historian, but I'm going to just tell you what I think.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what Daryl was saying. I mean, Daryl's point of view, however you feel about this, what Daryl's saying is he doesn't really like doing debates. He likes to do long format stuff where he can really explain his position.
And by the way, you don't like debate either, Douglas Murray. All you organize are these within Zionism, little quasi-debate or things that look like debate. You have never truly faced someone who has a legitimately and fundamentally different view of yours. You are hosting these things that look like debate between Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, Ben Shapiro, Richard Dawkins, Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, Dave Smith. It is all inside the circle jerk of people who think like you.
If you throw a lot of shit out there, there's some point at which I'm just raising questions, isn't
But Martyr Maid isn't saying that he's raising questions. Martyr Maid is saying he's read a lot about history and he's communicating these findings to the consumers of his podcast.
Not a valid thing. Mm-hmm. You're not raising questions. You're not asking questions.
Well, no one. That's not what Martyr Maid is saying.
You're telling people something.
Do you think?
Yes, he's communicating what he's learned from his own reading and his own perspective. And given that we've been only fed the Jewish perspective on history forever, it feels good. It feels refreshing to have someone else. I don't even care what he thinks. If he thinks differently, I'm welcoming it.
I think Daryl's doing that?
I think there's a whole bunch of guys doing that. I think Dave is doing that, very obviously. Dave's a comedian. But he's now mainly...
People were noting that this guy, by the way, has expertise in nothing. This guy has expertise in nothing. He has an undergrad in English. Absolutely no expertise, no education, other than if he was to talk about the structure of English sentences. And here he is calling the other a comedian. Well, if the comedian has spent enough time to inform himself, he may be an interesting filter of information from which I want to hear, to learn about the world, just like Martyr Maid.
Talking about Israel.
No, I don't know if I'm mainly talking about Israel.
That's all I see you on the internet.
Yeah, but that's
you. Well, that might be what you've seen.
It's
but
just
I don't
you
think
consuming
that's,
clips.
But that is also your shtick now, isn't it?
Well, what do you mean by that's my shtick?
Well, you're not a geopolitics guy in general, are you?
I don't even know exactly what you're asking.
I'm saying you've decided, being a comedian, you've decided now to become somebody who talks about Israel.
This
and
is
the conflict.
I think you're incorrect. I don't think it's a decision. I just think
it's an important subject because Israel is currently fomenting a war in which they want to bring the U.S., just like they've been doing with Iraq, just like they've been doing with Afghanistan, just like they've been doing with Libya, Syria, Lebanon. And it's starting to be time to put our cards on the table and position ourselves. And it interests everyone because it will fundamentally change the American economy for the coming 10 to 20 years. And in fact, it could crash it very gravely.
You have long-form conversations, multiple of them. It's a huge event that's in the news, so it comes up. I think if you're on the outside, you'd say, oh, look, they're trying to get attention by talking about this very polarizing issue publicly.
And finally, the last fallacy I wanted to talk about is at the end, Dave Smith quotes Wolfowitz as being one of the designer of a plan to basically the plan of the wars in the Middle East as they have unfolded, basically. And you have Douglas Murray saying, no, you should be careful in naming one Jew just like this who has a Jewish name. And it's like, well, can we talk about the fact that there are Jews in the American administration. They're pushing for Jewish plans. Their Jewish plan happens to be advantaging Israel, a Jewish nation. And can we just say their name and say, hey, that was a bad plan? No, you can't, according to Douglas Murray, because it leads to anti-Semitism creeping under your feet. So he's accusing Dave Smith of criticizing the people. And it's not like Dave Smith highlighted that he was Jewish. Dave Smith just named him and he said, look, this guy's plan was bad. And Douglas Murray immediately goes on the attack of anti-Semitism and how dare you name a Jew who has happened to be pushing for Jewish plans within the American administration and successfully got America to be involved in this plan. I hope at this point, what I hope from all this is that Joe Rogan realizes, look, there is a special Jewish cognition at play. They are self-obsessed. They have different rules for themselves than they have for the outside. So when you're raised with Talmudic belief that there must be a law from within Jewry and then a law that applies outside of Jewry, it gets in your mind. It fucks up something inside. And you become unable to extend what I would call Christian charity, which probably was just never there in their brain. But this kind of, hey, I'm going to examine my own moral standards and apply them to myself in the same way as I apply them to others, and in fact, sometimes stronger on myself than onto the others. This operation, this self-guilt, examination, is something that the Jewish brain cannot do. And that's why they can just kill babies without flinching. That's why they can kill babies and then stand in front of you and say, hey, you're not platforming enough pro-Israeli voices. Rush Tifley says, Jeff, is Murray ethnically Jewish or is he just a rabid Zionist so far under the spell that he has seamlessly racially transitioned to Jewry? He's like the Blair White of Judaism. I've been told that he was Jewish. Maybe he's not. As far as I'm concerned, at this point, he has integrated into the machine so much that does it matter, really? Like Tim Pool, like, does it matter? If you're hanging out with Netanyahu, does it matter? And being gay, he's but a very Jewish idea of sexuality. RT says, Israel preparing to bomb Iran with or without Trump. Top-ped newspaper Yediot Haronot says it's time. U.S. at one moment threatens to destroy Iran and the next rushes to talks. Israel is preparing for possibility of attack with or without Americans. I don't have a strong position other than let Israel do it and don't fund it. I would be very happy if Israel could fuck around into the Middle East on their own and find out whatever is the response of Iran. But we don't have to be with them finding out. That is something that has been... It should have been this since the Iraq War. It should have been that instead of Netanyahu coming to America and asking for it, it should have been that, oh yeah, go ahead and go find your weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Go ahead and have fun, bombarding Afghanistan, which has nothing but a bunch of camel-riding mountain people. And now, if you want Iran, have fun. Have fun bombarding a commercial civilization that has some backing from Russia. Have fun and find out and... You know, good luck. I'm kind of neutral about the outcome. Now, neutrality is something that will trigger a Jew, let me tell you. DOJ launches Second Amendment task force to guard gun rights. The department, gun rights. But they're talking about they're talking about some red warning signals law. Maybe he's mentally unwell. Can we get his gun? I don't like what's happening. A judge has ruled that Trump can deport pro-Palestine Colombia activist, cites potentially serious foreign policy consequences. So it's assistant chief immigration judge. So it's still within the immigration administration. It's still a very low-level judge. I would like this case to get to the Supreme Court because it's a case of First Amendment and equality of rights. I hope it gets to the Supreme Court. Doubting Thomas says, JF, I suspect that Sam Harris had called Murray to have this debate in order to defend his position of authority, which failed miserably. Sam Harris was encouraging Murray to have a debate. Well, why doesn't Sam Harris answer to my email? I've offered a discussion to Sam Harris. If you think that your friend Douglas Murray did just good in front of the anti-Zionist Dave Smith, do like him. Come and own me with your strong arguments for Israel. Naberius says, I think it's just as likely he acted alone, knowing the accolades he would receive in those circles. Answering to Doubting Thomas. Okay, so did Douglas Murray ask for permission to have this debate? I note that he has chosen a Jew to oppose him. So he was still within the mafia family. And that may indicate that he didn't want too much pushback, or he didn't want to give credence to any other than a Jew. But typically they ask for permission. These people are controlled. This is what you have to understand. I turn up the camera every night and I deliver my thoughts about the world. And for a moment, we thought that the internet was converging toward personalities like me. But eventually, everyone got bought out. And these people, they're little dogs. Little dogs. They have to ask permission to engage with a contrary argument. Or else they will lose their funding. They will lose the respect from the mafia that pays for them. So yes, it's a very sad existence. Because Douglas Murray, you know, gets fucked in the ass in his personal life. Gets fucked publicly in his public life. And he gets fucked in the ass also on his salary because someone owns everything he does and can ask, what kind of life is that? You're a dog, you're a little submissive dog across three dimensions of your life. Much love, see you all next Monday. I'll take a break for the weekend. Bye-bye.